Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Welcome to Disney Deciphered, a podcast helping you save money, time, and stress as you plan your Disney vacation. On today's episode, listener Mike talks to us about what it's like to use Disney's Disability Access Service, DAS, and his experience with it last November. Find all episodes of this podcast at DisneyDeciphered.com or anywhere you find podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us positive reviews. Shout out and thank you to AppReview12345 and JenLKBO27 for your recent reviews. If you'd like to support the podcast, check us out on patreon.com/DisneyDeciphered, where you can subscribe to receive bonus content, or you can support the podcast at no cost to you by using me as your travel agent. Email josephchung@travelmation.net to get started. If you have any questions or topic ideas, email us DisneyDeciphered@gmail.com, tweet at us at WWDeciphered on Twitter, or find us on Facebook and Instagram, DisneyDeciphered. Thanks, and enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Joe from As the Joe Flies, and welcome to Disney Deciphered. Leslie is off having a blast on a 24-hour trip in Disneyland, and we had to record, so I am here recording today with a special guest, listener Mike, who is going to tell us all about his experience with the DAS Pass at Disney World. But before we get to that, just wanted to do some quick housekeeping. Wanted to give a shout out and thank you to some of our newest patrons, Robert O and Willow King L. Thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. It really helps to keep us going. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can check us out on patreon.com/DisneyDeciphered, where you'll receive bonus content, including Leslie's most recent trip report from Disneyland, and hopefully, crossing fingers, my first on the ground report from Disneyland in a couple of weeks. So, you know, I, as always, don't like to count my chickens before they hatch, but planning to go quite soon. All right, that does it for the business portion of this podcast. Let's get straight to Mike and the DAS Pass. All right, so I'm here with Mike Klein, one of my very first clients ever, all the way back in 2020. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
2020 feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, it feels longer than 2 years, that's for sure.
Yeah. So before we get into DAS, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Disney background?
So I had never been to Disney World prior to 2020. My now wife had, and she's like a big, big Disney person. So now I'm a big Disney person, of course. I originally had planned to take her to Europe. Her mom lives in Germany and she's German as well. Then COVID hit. I had started planning this trip like 8 months in advance, and COVID, like the minute I heard about COVID, I was like, there's no way we're making it to Europe in September. And I just started watching the Imagineering show on Disney Plus, and I was like, oh, Disney World sounds cool. Maybe we could go to Disney World. It was sort of random. And then I started listening to your podcasts, just searching up Disney World planning podcasts. And then I heard on an episode, like one of the, obviously this is over 2 years ago, where you were like, oh, I'm starting to be a travel agent right at the start of COVID. And I was like, well, I'll give this guy a call. And since then, I guess our first trip was December 2020. Then we went for Valentine's Day of 2021. And then we went in December of 2021 as well, first week of December. So, and you've helped plan all three of those trips. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I feel like the funniest thing, Mike, is we have this running joke that you always end up at the beach club. Now, I'll tell one of those stories. I can't remember which trip it was, but we had booked Port Orleans and it hadn't opened yet. And so I called for you and was like, you know, they called and were they trying to put you in Art of Animation or something? I can't remember exactly, but I was like, how about the beach club? And the cast member was nice enough to put you in the beach club that time. So I think that might have been your first trip.
Yeah, that was the first trip. And then this most recent one, we were in Caribbean Beach and our air conditioner unit was busted for the first 2 days, and then they upgraded us to Beach Club again. So 2 out of 3 times we've been upgraded for free into a deluxe. I consider myself pretty lucky.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely never happened to me before, but I'm glad that that worked out for you. And yeah, I remember the Port Orleans one. I was very excited that we were able to score that one. That one worked out really well. And then you ended up there again. Although I should say that you were saying on text that you were loving Caribbean Beach besides the air conditioner thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We really, I actually looked over right before we jumped on to record, and I said, oh, aside from the air conditioner, this location is great. I don't think it's too big. And we really enjoyed it, except for the air conditioner issue. So, and I would definitely stay there again.
Yeah, there's hundreds of rooms there. I'm sure not all of their air conditioners are broken. Well, we brought you on because on your last trip last year in November, you used the Disability Access Service for the first time, or people just call it DAS. So we wanted to talk about that. Now, before we talk about your experience, I just wanted to run through my understanding of how the system works, and then you can correct me if I miss out on anything. But basically, DAS, it's offered by Disney to anyone who might be having trouble waiting in lines, whether it's a visible or non-visible thing that causes people to have trouble waiting in line. So, you know, it could be ADHD, it could be you have trouble standing. There's all sorts of reasons why you can apply for DAS. And the thing that is new since the pandemic is what they've done is they've made it one so that you can pre-register via Zoom chat. And on that Zoom chat, I think you make 2 selections per day that you're going to be in the parks. And they've also made it so that after you use those 2 selections, you can do everything on your app. Now, I'm going to let you talk about all that, Mike. But a couple other things I want to note about the system is that I thought actually until a month or two ago that you could only register via Zoom chat. That's not actually true. You can register at any guest relations booth when you show up at the parks. The only difference is when you register at guest relations, you don't get to make those 2 advanced selections. You have to do the Zoom between 2 and 30 days prior to your park visit. So, you know, if it's last minute, you can't do it. And you also can't do it too early in advance. Everyone in your party can join you with DAS. And the way it works is for those first 2, you have times that you go back. But then for after that point, whenever you register for a DAS pass, you have to wait, quote unquote. You don't have to wait in line, but you have to wait for the amount of time that standby is for. So that's kind of the generals and the basics as I understand it. What did I miss about the basics, Mike?
That's pretty much it. The one thing with when you book your 2 predetermined rides for the day, they don't really, at least when we booked it, I think I booked it like, say, a week out, maybe a week to 10 days before our trip. They're not as flexible with those times. Like they'll, you know, but so you don't have to wait. You can book your first DAS ride regardless of whether you've used those 2 pre-booked rides.
Got it. So you're saying that essentially you're walking into the park with 3? Like, do you have to wait until you tap into the park first, or can you do it that morning?
You have to be in the park, but you can, like, I remember one of our, I think our, yeah, our first day there, one of our DAS pass pre-booked rides was Soarin', but it was for like 3:45 because that was the earliest time they had. So I think in regards to doing the pre-booking, it's probably better at the 30-day mark than the 7-day mark. So like I would say, oh, we're booked into Epcot on Friday. So what did you have? Do you have Soarin' available? And then the person I spoke with said, we have it at time X, Y, or Z. So you don't get to say like, I want to be on Soarin' at 10 a.m., you know?
Got it. That totally makes sense. So let's talk about your experience a little, starting with the live chat waiting room, quote unquote, that you have to deal with leading into. Well, actually, I've been using your example the most whenever anyone asks me about DAS. It felt like the live chat itself was one of the most painful holds, but the actual Zoom itself was quite pleasant. Tell us about your experience back in November. I think it's actually gotten worse since then, but it didn't sound that pleasant when you did it in November.
Yeah, it was on a set. So we did the pre-registration and then I just figured, oh, maybe I'll wait for a half hour for the Zoom. So I did it on my iPhone and a half hour turned into an hour, which I started at 7 a.m. on a Saturday. I wish I had done it on a laptop at least, so I didn't have to like keep my phone open the whole day, you know, for 7 hours. So yeah, 7 hours later, we finally got on the Zoom, and my wife was actually getting her nails done at a nail salon next to our apartment building. And so I said to the lady, please hold on, I have to go meet my wife really quick. So I ran into this nail salon.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. That's a good point that I forgot to say, which is that the person who you're registering DAS for, they don't have to ask for it themselves, but they have to be there when you get it.
Yeah. And so obviously my wife had me stay on hold. But so then she actually talked with the person. It was pretty quick. My wife had a traumatic back injury and surgeries. She has like 2 metal rods and a bunch of screws in her back. She just talked to the person from DAS about that. It was quite brief. And then they approved it. And then I booked the ride separately. So it was at, like, dealing with people was very painless when you actually got to that point. It was just the wait was definitely much longer than anticipated. So I would do it on a weekend again if I know it's going to be a long wait like that, so I don't have to be glued somewhere.
Yeah, and one thing I heard was people have been saying that as they're waiting, they keep getting logged out from My Disney Experience and that they had to re-log in. It doesn't sound like it breaks the system, but it just sounds like it increases stress. Did you have to deal with that at all?
It's funny. I guess I did, I think, a few times, and I was like freaking out, especially because I was on the cell phone, but then I refreshed it and it was fine. So it was just the wait. And I also kind of made sure I was always like touching the phone, typing something and deleting it to make sure I was like logged in, just because I was worried about that happening. So it was just weird. If they said, hey, it's going to take, waits could be 5 hours, at least you know. But I'd say just the not knowing it's going to be 7 hours is kind of a little stressful in that regard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, unnecessarily stressful, I might add. One last thing I wanted to add, because I had asked about this and you experienced this as well. I was thinking, Mike, you and I are on Zoom right now, and if we wanted to add Leslie, we could add her. And so I was thinking that Disney would be able to do something like that, but they cannot. So they can only one-on-one Zoom. So that's why you definitely need the person to be around at the very furthest on the nail salon around the block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's no like callback feature or anything like that. So you have to stay on. One of Kirsten's friends went recently and did DAS, and she didn't have to wait 7 hours. It was still a few hours, but there's no callback option. Still no, you know, from November and none from now that I heard of. So, which maybe would be the easiest fix to the wait time, you know, but not yet.
That would make too much sense, Mike.
Fair enough.
It was my understanding that you don't need to show paperwork, but that friend, you had said that she had to show paperwork recently, right? That's actually the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, that's what she said. I don't know about send it in. I think she just had to, I followed up with her and she said, show it on the Zoom. She said it was pretty smooth and quick. So it sounded like it was still pretty easy at least. So, but I guess it, you know, maybe they're just trying to discourage folks who aren't disabled or should get it to apply.
As they should, of course. Now, you were there for a while, so maybe let's not run through every single attraction that you booked, but what do you think are like the most clutch pre-trip attractions that you booked on DAS? And were there any attractions that you weren't able to get because they were, you know, sold out for the day or not available or whatever?
So you cannot pre-book the paid rides that's in each park. Those are off limits for DAS pre-booking. And I guess that sort of makes sense. They're like, well, you can already get a version of this by paying for it and everybody else has to do that. So what you can do, and this is sort of what we did, like our part of our rope drop strategy, we were able to book Slinky Dog Dash at Hollywood Studios. And I forget what else we booked, actually, what our other pre-booking was. But so what we did, we did the Millennium Falcon pre-book also. But then what we did was when we rope dropped, the minute we checked into the, well, we got there before rope drop, like before the park opened. So we went Mickey and Minnie's. And then the minute the park opened, punched in our first DAS booking of the day to Rise of the Resistance. And we were able to get all rides painlessly. And we ended up, I think we ended up doing Rise of the Resistance 2 or 3 times in one day. And then in between, we'd just go to whatever didn't have a long wait. or our pre-booked ride. So it makes life easy in that sense. Like, you know, we knew we were going to get on Slinky Dog Dash and we knew we were going to do all these things and didn't have the pressure, you know, to run in line or just not as much pressure on the rope drop strategy, I guess.
And so even though you can't pre-book Rise, you can do it from the app?
Yes, and as many times as you want.
That's pretty awesome. Now, I got a question for you. So, like, on the app, when you have DAS, is there a separate menu item, or like, how do you navigate to that? I know we are in an audio podcast, as we like to remind people, but can you describe kind of what the process is navigating it? I assume it's pretty straightforward, but, you know, where would people look for it?
So on the app, under your like the main page, when you click the three bars and it says like tip board and one square, my genie day, future plans, at the very bottom of that, if you have DAS on your booking, it's there, like it's an option you can click. And from there, you can book your rides. It's actually not exactly front and center, I guess, but it's its own separate page where you get to book each ride.
All right, so let's talk about your experiences in the parks themselves. You know, so at Hollywood Studios, it totally makes sense. Book Rise of the Resistance as many times as you could. But at the other parks, how did you find yourself using DAS? You know, what kind of rides were you doing? Were you doing a mix of booking on DAS and waiting? How did your plans go, or your touring plans, get affected overall with the DAS?
It definitely just makes your life easier in the parks. You can go a lot slower. It definitely altered our rope drop strategy, because we would go in and pick, like at Magic Kingdom one day, we went in early and went to Peter Pan and rode that twice instead of waiting on the Seven Dwarves line. And when the park opened, we just booked a DAS return time for Mine Train. And then if, you know, that had an hour wait or 80 minutes at some points when we booked it. So we'd go to Little Mermaid, which had a 5 or 10 minute wait, and basically just walk on. And one kind of nice thing with DAS, if the return time is 80 minutes, you can actually show up 5 to 10 minutes before that. So if it's a 60 minute wait time, show up after 50 minutes and they'll let you in. So that was also nice. But so we were able to do pretty much every ride we wanted to do or experience or show. And in a way, the rides that had the biggest wait times that we would book, whether it was Flight of Passage, it was like we didn't mind that so much, because then we got to, okay, so we know we have 2 hours to go explore or eat or and shop or, you know, whatever it is we were going to do. So it kind of added a nice structure to the day in a weird way.
And then the other thing to note is there's not like a window, right? So it's just, if it's 12 o'clock, Flight of Passage is 2 hours long, it's just anytime after two, you can show up. So you could like chill even more if you wanted and then just show up at three. It's just, you can't book a new one until that, right?
Yeah, we actually, until you mentioned it, I totally forgot. We actually did that since we got switched to the Beach Club. We were going from Animal Kingdom to Epcot. And I said to Kirsten, I said, well, let's just punch into Epcot really quickly and jump on a Frozen DAS. So when we come back, we'll just walk right in from, we're going to go to the pool first. And so we did that, and it had 150 minute posted wait time, which that was the longest wait. Weirdly, it was the longest wait of any ride we saw. At one point, it had 180 minute wait when we were there. So we swam, came right in, and even though it had 100 minute, it was down to 100 minutes by the time we got back in, we were able to walk right in. So it was exactly like you said, it definitely made life a lot easier in that regard.
Now, logistically, what you just made me realize, it sounds like you had to tap into the next park, even if you had a park hopper before you could book the DAS, it like doesn't know that you have a park hopper ticket or whatever?
Yes. Similarly, you can't pre-book a DAS pre-booking to a park you're not registered to be going to. So if we were going to Hollywood Studios that day, that's what our park hopper said, we could only pre-book two rides at Hollywood Studios, not at other parks.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, that makes sense, because ostensibly you are going up to the ride and then just not waiting in the line. So it makes sense that you're supposed to have been in the park already. Last logistical question, unless there's something logistical that you think we need to know is, are you always going in through the lightning lane? Was it like every single time it's the lightning lane that you go through?
Yeah, that's the same as the DAS entrance. And some of the people actually would be like the line hailers would be saying like lightning lane, DAS. So I think they make it pretty obvious, you know.
Actually, no, I thought of another question. What about stuff like the people mover that doesn't have a lightning lane? Is that available on DAS? Or, you know, maybe you don't like the people mover as much as I do, but insert any attraction that doesn't have a lightning lane.
So we only went on people mover as a walk-on, but it was available under DAS.
Got it. There must be someone who can check your DAS at the line there. All right, big question. You ended up not buying Genie Plus because of the DAS pass. Overall, if you have DAS, do you feel like, because I know some people talk about, you know, they're double dipping, they have Genie Plus on one side, DAS on the other. Do you think that's even necessary? I know you've seen how crowded it has been recently, more crowded than when you were there, but still overall, DAS instead of Genie Plus?
I would say if you're eligible for DAS and do get it, then it's definitely a waste of money to get Genie Plus. I guess in some senses, of course, they're similar, right? You get to book two things a day or up, you know, beforehand. But DAS, you're not competing for time slots. So there isn't that stress, you know, and it's, I don't see a benefit of getting Genie Plus when you have DAS, because DAS still does the same things. I suppose it's just me and my wife, if you're in a group of six people and people are splitting up, well, whoever's not going with the person with DAS pass, that's like the only situation I could foresee somebody wanting both. But to me, DAS, it's a smoother Genie Plus for those that are eligible for it.
Yeah, I have a text here from a Michael Klein that says, I feel like DAS is what people's perfect version of FastPass would be. So that guy sounds pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to say that out loud on the podcast, but you said it. So, and I also have
sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm joking. But I also said, I looked back in my texts, and this is when we were asking about how many rides we had gone on at Magic Kingdom that day. And I said, I know this is probably the 87th time I've said it, but DAS is the second MVP of this trip. Joseph Chung, of course, always number one.
Mike and Joe texts a treasure trove of information. That's what we'll say there. All right. So before we close things out, any other tips and tricks, any other things you think people need to know about DAS if they're going to be applying for it?
I would just say be prepared to wait for that Zoom. If you qualify, do it, because it really does just take the logistic stress out of a day. And I feel like especially if you have kids, that's would be a very, very big thing. So I would recommend definitely doing it if you're eligible.
Yeah. And man, that comment about it being like a better Genie Plus, Leslie and I were just talking about this on Unfiltered for patrons yesterday, just about how now we can probably definitively say that FastPass Plus was better than Genie Plus. Part of me wonders if logistically, like, why can't the Genie Plus system be like this? You know, it's just like a virtual line queue. It's 90 minutes. And, you know, maybe you don't add the individual lightning lanes on there, but if Slinky Dog Dash is 100 minutes, you let people with Genie Plus just book a virtual queue time for 100 minutes later and then do it like that. So I don't know. I guess I'm not an engineer enough to understand this, but it really feels like it would be a much smoother system.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so what is kind of funny is when the minute we got to Epcot, our first day, that was like right when people started having problems with Genie Plus. I don't know if you remember that. And there was like a line of people at the customer relations. We just went in to make sure our DAS was all good, like everything was okay. And there was a line of people trying to get their money back for Genie Plus. I felt horrible, but it was like, oh, well, sorry. Just a little anecdote. It was just weird, funny, and sad on all sides. But
I mean, she had a very bad back injury, so it's not like you were doing anything wrong. It's funny how sometimes even when I buy Genie Plus, like when I go to the front of the line, it's like I almost feel bad because it feels like I'm cheating the system, even though I paid for it. All right. So as you know, we always like to end with a Disney do or don't. So Mike, leave us off with a Disney do or don't, please.
My number one Disney do is use Joseph Chung as your travel agent.
Man, I regret asking you on. This is too embarrassing. Do you have a real one for us, Mike, besides
I do have another one. I would say my Disney do is go to Art Smith Homecoming in Disney Springs. We've been there a few times, and the food is excellent, excellent, excellent. Definitely a must try. I'm kind of picky with food. I work in the food world for a chocolate company, but that's like one of my favorite restaurants ever. So,
what is like a dish that you feel like is something that people have to have if they're going to Chef Art Smith's Homecoming?
Probably the fried chicken and donuts. That's really, really good. Everything's really good there, I'd say. We ordered like a few things the first time we went there and went home with a lot of leftovers, but that I think is fried chicken is incredible. All the sides are really, really good. Can't go wrong there. Pretty much everything's good. Desserts are really, really good too.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for coming on, and also thank you for the kind words. Now, my turn. Mike, your company that you work for has really great foodstuffs to try and things like that. So where can people find the food that you have to sell? In fact, the company is so good that Disney was talking to them about building a car out of chocolate. So, you know, Mike, tell us, you know, where can we find these fine chocolate products?
Yeah, I work for a chocolate company called Knipschilt Chocolatier, also known as Chocopology. Yeah, they wanted us to build a Jaguar from Cruella out of chocolate. I'm talking about that. It ended up falling through, yeah, because of COVID and some weather stuff because chocolate melts. But yeah, you can find us at chocopology.com, and we do all sorts of cool handmade chocolate, especially for Easter, speckled robin's eggs with caramel filling and all sorts of fun stuff. We actually make a dinosaur egg out of chocolate that's like four of my heads. We do all sorts of cool stuff like that. So thanks for asking, Joe.
How does one eat that?
Oh, you need a lot of people. It's so big. It's semi-solid. So.
And a pick? Ice pick?
Yeah, definitely an ice pick. It's like 4 inches thick of chocolate. It's quite the centerpiece.
Well, I can speak personally for Chocopology. Mike has sent me stuff before. It's really good. So we'll throw the link in the show notes. Mike, thanks again so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And thanks for sharing your experience with DAS.
Thanks so much for having me, Joe. I appreciate it.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.